Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to drop the puck. Time for the Nightcap. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Lindsey Brown.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for spending the hockey off day with us. It's not fully off. There was still the NHL draft lottery that did happen today, and we're going to get into that. But joining me is Paul Eihander, my fearless leader on the Playmakers and my best hockey sidekick here at CBS Sports Radio 1140. Thank you so much for joining us for a short shifted nightcap this afternoon, Paul.
Hey, my skates are sharp and it's all taped up, ready to go.
Yep, you look it. You look it, you feel it, and we all know once you look good, you feel good, and you play good. And a team that's probably feeling pretty good right now is those New York Rangers, Paul, because they were the benefactors of an NHL draft lottery that went awry a few weeks ago, where you have teams like the Detroit Red Wings or the Ottawa Senators, who are just god-awful at the hockey, but they weren't able to secure that top NHL draft lottery spot. And that went to a team that was eliminated this past weekend out of the qualifying rounds. And the Rangers were that team. 12.5% chance for everyone who lost. That was the Oilers. That was the Panthers. That was the Wild, the Predators, the Rangers, the Penguins, the Leafs, and the Jets. And the Rangers, for the first time since 1965, when they selected Andre Veilleux with their first overall pick. This is the first time they're going to have that pick. They're going to pick Alexis Lafreniere. And gee dang it, Paul, that rebuild process with Kaapo Kakko and Artemi Panarin and all of the great talent they have on their roster just got a little more expedited.
Yeah, it feels like it. If you go to the Rangers website page,
Slight Excite.
Oh, it's literally the number one pick is ours. It says the next chapter is now. It's the only thing you see on the page.
The next
They're
chapter
ready.
Is now.
They're absolutely ready, and you know that. You know Panarin needs some help. I mean, it's very clear that team, struggled throughout the entire season. Obviously, the Islanders overshadowed them, in a number of ways during the season and the offseason as well. Mm-hmm. They get a new home. They're still playing. They're still in the running for the cup. And the Rangers felt, short-sighted. And then, the lucky lottery ball falls their way a couple hours ago. And then they find themselves in a different situation where they can get the fan base excited a little bit. And,
sure.
any luck is good luck.
Yeah, and especially after last year just barely missing out on the Jack Hughes sweepstakes, they ended up selecting Kaapo Kakko with number two overall, which was a lot more of a contentious one and two, kind of likening it to the Taylor Hall, Tyler Seguin draft. I think that was 2010-ish, where it was like, we don't know, they're both great prospects. And so are Kaapo and Jack Hughes. But they didn't exactly make the biggest cannonball splash in the league, but I think that's going to be a much different story with Alexis Lafreniere as it was with Connor McDavid, with Austin Matthews, just because he is a full-blown, grown human man at 18, 19 years old, and some people just mature earlier and able to use that body of theirs to impose their will earlier in their career, and I'm sure the Rangers fans are really excited considering of how quickly they were dispatched over the last couple weeks in their brief moment in the Stanley Cup playoff sum this year. But, that's the draft lottery. That was never going to be in the cards for us here as a Vegas Golden Knights town and radio station here, Paul. And the Vegas Golden Knights over the weekend ended up just straight up winning, which is what they've been doing since everything restarted. They beat the Arizona Coyotes in the exhibition game. They beat the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday. They beat the Dallas Stars in their first game. They beat the St. Louis Blues. And they have secured the number one overall seed for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are going to be straight-up seven-game series, just like they always are, henceforth from now on.
The good news about the Knights as they come into this and having a successful round robin is that they don't have to answer too many questions as they do enter the playoffs. Everything seemed to be clicking. They get timely goals. They had plenty of offense. So I think that was the... I think that was the one worry for a lot of teams is, were they going to be able to score goals? And was it going to be about, you know, really the, it was the goalie position going to be the most important thing for all the teams that were in the round robin and in the play-in?
Yes.
And the answer absolutely was yes. And it was just a matter, in terms of the Knights, it was a matter of having to come from behind yet again, you know, time after time early on, and were able to stay up, you know, on, you know, the Avs in that game, and had to take it to overtime, and it felt like we were going to have a lot of extra hockey that afternoon until Alex Tuch, who has magically shown up here.
Ever since you mentioned him about having a big-time playoff and how impactful that would be for your Vegas Golden Knights playoff chances, he scored 3 goals, baby.
He did, and he's been in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. It's clear he's maximizing the opportunities that he's had, and they're going to lean on him a little bit. And for the Knights to have such, you know, available scoring, you know, it didn't all come from one player. Although when you look at some of the analysis, Mark Stone did actually step up quite a bit. He was playing.
He does that, doesn't he?
It was both ends too, not just on offense where he was setting things up for not himself, but for his teammates, but playing some decent defense as well. And it's one of those things where you look at this team and do you sense that it's special? Do you sense that something amazing is about to happen, which is not something that we were saying 6 months ago by any means. Even before the pause, you saw glimmers, but you saw the change. Change in coaching, the change in attitude, the change in philosophy, and the pause did this team a lot of good. And now that they get to roll into this 7-game series, hopefully it's not 7 against Chicago, because I think the longer it goes, and again, we're going to get into this, but I think the longer a series goes, the more you are going to get tired, because these guys aren't, you know, while they still have had 4 months to sit, you know, and get healthy, it still doesn't necessarily translate later and later and later as you come closer to the cup.
Right. And the longer you let somebody stay in a game, the more they think that they can win. If you keep it close, and that's what was a big challenge for the Knights, because it wasn't like they were skating particularly well against all the teams that they faced off against in the round robin. Like, they got their butts beat multiple times by the Colorado Avalanche. But this past Saturday, you saw a much calmer team, a team that didn't score in the first period, but didn't get scored on. And that was one of the big things that I took away from that Colorado Avalanche game, because we talked about we wanted a low-scoring game because we've seen so many goals scored, especially on the Golden Knights against that matchup. And just to see what a true playoff hockey matchup would look like in between two highly skilled teams and the two best Western Conference teams, at least in my opinion, and clearly by the standings as well. And the thing that was most distinctive for me that I saw from the Golden Knights wasn't that they beat the team kind of or beat the Avs at their own game, but in the way where they weren't really able to get anything going in that first period or even different parts of the game, but they were able to make sure that the Avs didn't either. And that's a big thing for not just any hockey team, but especially for the Golden Knights, who gave up goals in bunches early in the round robin against Dallas, against St. Louis, have done that several times over the course of the regular season. That doesn't really count or matter anymore at this point, but still something that you just like to see, even just to make sure that you're still driving. Things in cruise control sometimes, but you just want to make sure that you're not making any sudden lane changes where you're not just crashing your car, but theirs as well. And so I thought the game that we saw against the Avalanche, I'm like, first of all, sign me up for a seven game series between those two teams. It's going to be an unbelievable a matchup if that's able to happen, and one that will happen later in the rounds. But in the meantime, they're going to be facing a team and some names that are very familiar with those late round playoff successes and Stanley Cups and the Chicago Blackhawks. And as much as we like to overlook teams that are towards those bottom seeds, and they definitely would not be in the playoffs if it was a normal season this year, but they beat the Oilers. They shut down Connor McDavid. They shut down Leon Draisaitl. And now you're working with the confidence in that. And the Golden Knights team is a much better team than the Edmonton Oilers. But you still got to do the work. You got to go out for each shift and beat them. And they're working with a lot of confidence and a lot of Stanley Cup pedigree in that room.
I think you wonder if Chicago, when they figured Edmonton out and finally figured out the keys that they'll be able to apply it against the Knights, because the Knights are in a much different position. They do have the star players, but not the superstar players. I mean, I want to be very clear about that, you know, I'm not discounting the Knights in terms of Stone and Pacioretty, who we still haven't seen skate.
Pacioretty's going to be back in the lineup tomorrow.
He's back, but we still haven't seen him go in anything, you know, since prior to the pause. He's been hurt or whatever it was.
Yep.
He is back in Edmonton and he should be ready to play tomorrow. But they, you know, the Chicago found a way to shut down Edmonton stars. That first line is scary, and it should scare a lot of people and should still continue to scare a lot of people. So it seemed like they figured them out quite a bit, and it didn't take them very long to, which just shows you that there are veterans on the Chicago team. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They are one of the hottest teams rolling right now.
Right.
And they're able and willing and certainly capable of taking that next step and not surprising the Knights anymore. I think you don't want to be surprised by the Blackhawks when they come in. They've been getting some stellar play and goal from Crawford.
Well, the last couple of games, sure.
That's all that matters, though.
Exactly.
That's all that matters. I don't care what happened in the series, which, by the way, was Vegas Golden Knights 2, Chicago 1.
Correct.
It doesn't mean anything anymore. The hockey now that's being played is what's going to happen. I was so concerned early on in the round robin when the Knights were giving up goals so quickly. There's this thing in baseball that I can attribute it to. And so a guy will hit a home run, and it's kind of on his last pitches or whatever, and you'll see they'll make a pitching change. Usually the next batter that comes up, when that pitcher throws his first pitch, that batter swings.
For the fences.
And what happened to the Knights in that early game where they gave up a couple of quick goals is that the other team, whether it was Dallas or St. Louis, Dallas specifically, when they saw the Knights backpedaling, they saw something.
And they pushed.
And they pushed and they pressed them, and they got that goal so quick. I worried about that for a while with the Knights. I still have that concern right now that when they let up one goal, that second one comes way too quick for me. Within a minute, maybe 2 minutes or whatever it is.
Exactly.
They don't get a chance to settle down, and it feels like the opponents know that. And I'm hoping that DeBoer addresses that with the team and is able to make those corrections here as we start playing games that really, really count.
Their inability to stop the hemorrhaging in terms of goal scoring is a big part of what got Coach Gerard Gallant fired. And it's something that they've definitely worked on with Pete DeBoer. And in their qualifying rounds, you know, the Blackhawks showed the ability to pour it on in those moments and to have that mentality. And that's where that Stanley Cup pedigree really comes in. And we always say it's a great cup resume. And you could say, well, that's what it is. But in terms of the actual application of that, that means they understand. They've seen so many guys at such a high level and the highest stakes. They're like, oh, you guys are starting to run around a little bit, aren't you? Well, guess what? Instead of dumping it in that corner over there, which is the nearest to your bench, I'm going to go the opposite side. And guess what? I'm going to take an inside angle and trap you in there and make sure that you're going to stay in here for the next 45 seconds. So you make mistakes and we're going to have our best guy here just hanging in the slot ready to put it right past court or whoever the opposing goaltender is. And those are those little things that that these guys pick up over the experience of the careers, and especially when you have as much experience and pedigree as the Chicago Blackhawks. And so that's 100% something they're going to have to really bear down on and do their best to prevent when this series gets started tomorrow night at 7:30 our time here. It's going to be a late one for everyone else in the country, but you need to get off to a good start. And that's been the main thing about the goals for the Golden Knights and most hockey teams, is that you want to make sure that you're dictating play and then you're not getting lulled into the other team's game, especially when you're supposed to be the aggressing team. Like if you're going to be the favorite, you also have to play the favorite and know when you're pushing too much or you're not pushing hard enough. It's all a mind game, and it's all way bigger than it usually is.
The psychology of the playoffs is always interesting to me.
Oh, yes.
You know, trying to maintain momentum from series to series. I think this is where the Knights had a little bit more of it. And it's funny because we said the round robins didn't count as much and we didn't care as much, but it played for the seeding. But I think the teams had to treat it like a regular season. And those who treated it seriously and took it seriously, like the Knights, I'll be honest with you, I think they took it pretty seriously.
Damn right they did.
In terms of play, they find themselves in that number one seed. But a team like Chicago, they have an advantage as well because they were able to focus on just one opponent. And now it'll be interesting to see, now that the Knights get to just focus on one team and get all the tape they can on one team. Because to be honest, they have had to look at so much tape leading up until this point until they had to figure out what was going on, because they had to get a win. They had to get a win against St. Louis. They had to get a win against Dallas, and they had to get the win against Colorado, and they didn't know who they were going to play up until the end. So, I mean, again, it's a familiar foe because it's the Western Conference, but it's not the same team from 4 months ago. You can pick up some tendencies.
Sure.
But, you know, playoff hockey is a different beast, Lindsay.
Completely different beast. And that's where you have to throw everything away that was done five months ago or even just a few days ago, because everything is about this moment. It's always about that next shift or practice rep or whatever else, because that's how small and detail oriented you need to be at this point. And that's what's really going to make the difference of who scores the goal in the opportunity and who doesn't. And then the other thing is, speaking of psychology behind playoffs, You don't think there's a psychological thing going on between Robin Lehner and the goaltenders on both sides as well, whoever, regardless who plays, considering how much had kind of transpired leading up to the trade deadline when we acquired Robin Lehner? Malcolm Subban's on that other team. And if Corey Crawford, who was not great to start in that series against the Edmonton Oilers, but granted, he had like one day of camp because he had the Rona, he's started to settle in a little bit. But that's the other thing as well that I think we're going to have to get into on the other side of the break here, Paul, because as a former goaltender and as someone who's been told you're not good enough or we don't want you or just straight up no a few times and what that does to your psychology and how some of us utilize that, I think that's going to play a much bigger part in this upcoming series against the Chicago Blackhawks and a lot of people probably either understand or can really articulate. So maybe that's what we'll do on the other side of the break here on the Nightcap. Paul and Lindsay hanging with you guys here until 5:30, and we'll be right back on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Unfiltered hockey talk for Golden Knights fans. It's the Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Greetings and hello to the Nightcap. Thanks for joining us. And if you've missed any portion of our show or any interview we've done in the past here, you can find that on the radio.com app. I know you guys all have it downloaded to your phone already because we're already all best friends. But in case you had to delete them just so you had some room for your videos or your pictures over the weekend, go to your Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, search out radio.com, and then search out the Nightcap. Include the because it's important. It's very important. Just three letters, the Nightcap, and hit that little subscription and then share with your friends because sharing is caring and we're trying to become hockey people up in here, aren't we, Paulito?
We try indeed.
And before we went to the break, we kind of started we're talking hockey, a little hockey talk, and we got down the road to the goaltending position. I know everyone is shocked, especially you, Paul. We never talk about goalies on this program.
I thought we were talking about Chandler Stephenson, who has kind of been Mr. MacGyver, so to speak, duct tape, Swiss Army knife,
sliding
into that first line with Bill Carlson and Mark Stone. Oh, by the way, did you hear Doc Emrick call him Carrier?
Oh boy,
he corrected himself.
Bill Carrier. It took me at least a month for me to correct that in my own head, and it took about 2 days for you to completely devolve that, because once you just get it, it repeats in my head over and over and over again. But that's my
carrier.
But that's my goalie brain, Paul. That's how I work. You get repetitive. You have to tell yourself messages. We all have our own little things. I couldn't really fully articulate of all the little things that I had to do just to stay on an even keel during a game, because goaltending position is as hard as it is physically. It is 100% won and lost in between the ears. All the best sports positions are, but especially the goaltending position, Paul. And we know about the recent history between one of the Vegas Golden Knights goaltenders, Robin Lehner, and the Chicago Blackhawks organization. And now that they're facing off against each other in the playoffs, I thought we would kind of dig into that, because the Blackhawks were not supposed to be here. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded Lehner to the Golden Knights. And when he signed there last summer as a free agent, he bopped around a couple of teams over the last few years, given his history over the last couple of seasons. But he's been playing incredibly well, and he's more than deserving of a long-term contract, and that's what he was kind of looking for in Chicago, considering Corey Crawford is supposed to be hitting free agency after this season and a lot of other things. It's an easy organization to want to be like, yeah, I think I want to be a part of this one. There's pretty good success here. But that wasn't part of their plan, and they end up flipping him here for Malcolm Subban right before the trade deadline, and now they're facing off against one another. And I think this is going to be, if there wasn't a line that was leading to Robin Lehner being the starting goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights right now, because I think as a former goaltender myself and as a coach, you got to go with the best hand, the person that puts you in the best position to win, and that's him. And I also think because of his history, his recent history with the Chicago Blackhawks, adds an even more interesting incentive to put him in goal.
I think that's the one thing that I actually am concerned with, just based on how goalies operate, mm-hmm. and how we know Robin Lehner operates. And if you follow him on social media, he's a strange duck there, that is for sure. Or should mm-hmm. I say strange panda? And it's interesting to say the least, but I think there's going to be a little bit more pressure on him if DeBoer does tap Lehner on the shoulder and puts him in goal against Chicago, because you would think that a guy who knows this team and understands the Blackhawks, and he did play for them for the majority of the season, would understand tendencies mm-hmm. and understand how guys go. But we know playoff hockey is a different putt. And if Lehner gives up an early goal, or maybe gives up a couple of goals early to the Blackhawks, mm-hmm. that's a confidence just crusher. When the expectation is for you to come in and blank your former team because you're supposed to know everything about them.
I don't know know if that's the expectation, though, because as much as that's part of the goaltending position, knowing tendencies, knowing some of the inside tracks, which they will absolutely talk about, it's not like the Golden Knights haven't played them a thousand times or there haven't been guys in that locker room or have played with guys. Like, that's part of it, but that's not the huge thing. But yeah, if you get out and go, if you go out there and get a couple early goals scored on you, yeah, your confidence is going to be in the absolute garbage as a goaltender, and you have to make sure that you don't rot, the boat does not tip over despite the rocky or the rough waters to start. But the thing is that you can't even have that mindset as a goaltender. Be like, what if I go out there and get scored on twice early? Nope, we can't think like that, Paul. We can't think that things are going to go wrong, because if you're already in that mindset, you're already losing. You're already behind the eight ball, and you're already second guessing yourself. When you're a goaltender, especially one like Robin Leonard, who based off of what I've heard him say, the interactions that we have had, is a very, he and I, his goalie brain, would have hung out in the same part of the dance floor a lot if we were at a school dance, just because we're in the kind of in the same groove. The amount of competitive fire and I want to say I told you so, or I proved you wrong, or you guys made the wrong call on me, and just for lack of a better term, F you with the middle finger. Like, that aspect of the goaltending game is something that isn't talked about, that killer instinct, and you have to control it because it's easy for it to get out of control, or especially if you're a goalie that likes to talk a lot of crap or likes to get a little bit outside of it. But Robin Leonard, based off of how he plays and what he's experienced over these last few years, he's going to be out for vengeance.
Was it Koskinen who started for the Oilers?
Correct.
Koskinen.
Not in game one.
No.
That was Smithy.
That was Smith, but Koskinen.
Correct.
It was a shooting gallery between these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Leonard can hold up against the Blackhawks offense, which has suddenly found itself just finding every nook and cranny?
100%. It's about who has the best game today. Because Jonathan Toews is more than likely going to bring his best game. So is Patrick Kane. So is Duncan Keith. Are you bringing your best game? Are you putting yourself in that position? And are you able to trust your body and all the training and everything that you've put forth in your body this year and for your entire life, that it's going to make the right selection? Because sometimes your body's going to make the bad call. Sometimes it's going to react the wrong way. Sometimes you're going to be caught in a bad spot of your crease. But when you play a style like Robin Leonard does, which is deeper in the crease, a lot more angles, a lot more off the post. You'll see him on the post, go out, take the angle, go back to the post, home base. Go out, take the angle. If the puck's up high, okay, go back down low, home base. Because you have to always stay on your angles, especially when you're back as far as he is, because he's such a large goaltender. That's a big difference between he and Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to stay back more, let the play come to him. Marc-Andre Fleury's going to try to go more and attack and challenge the puck. But even if there is an onslaught, if there's a lot of craziness, especially if there's a special teams just like back and forth, which we've seen a lot through these first few games, in some ways a goalie that sits back more is a more advantageous person to have in your net. But it just depends on how everybody's rolling each day. But just for the I'm going to prove you guys wrong and that you guys made the wrong call, and everybody who is not giving me a long-term contract from Robin Leonard, that's why I want to bet so big on this guy, because I know what that feels like to be like in that situation when you're leading up to a big time game and how much confidence in yourself. And if you're able to execute on that, the sky's the freaking limit, because whatever your goaltender does, your team feeds off of that. That's why you have to be completely stoked. Never too high, never too low, because they'll freak out. But if he starts to turn in a performance like he did against the Avalanche a couple days ago, holy cow. We got to hold on to our butts, people.
No, DeBoer's been incredibly diplomatic about selecting and what he's been saying about his two goalies. And he says, well, you know, it's strange that we're in the bubble and it's different and it's good to have two. He's going to eventually have to pick one.
It's today. You have to pick today. If he hasn't already picked them already, he probably told them earlier at practice. That's typically something you like to tell the goalie before the practice. I don't know. It's just a different situation. Given the context this season, maybe it is that close, but that's how it usually goes. And you like to have the night to rationalize it, to have it settle, to fully prepare, because we are creatures of habit. We do have a lot of tendencies. Not every goalie is the same, but every goalie is weird in their own way and has a certain way of preparing. And so, but I expect, if there's anybody that I would expect a big game one from, it's Robin freaking Leonard, just because he has so, so much to prove. And not only to his former teammates, but to the ones in front of him, because if that's the decision Peter DeBoer makes, that's another convincing job that is going to have to be made. He might be that goaltender, but we will find out tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Your Vegas Golden Knights square off against the Chicago Blackhawks game one. We are going to be watching it right here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, and hopefully you guys stick around with us throughout the playoffs for all of your great hockey analysis. Thank you to Paul, and thanks to Marcus. Thank you to everyone. Stay safe, be well, wear your damn masks, and go Knights. Bye!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.